Let us turn in God's word to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 14, reading from the verse 1 down to verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and, behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. It is this spurred bird that I want especially to think about with you today. This living bird, as it is called several times in the text, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. The living bird. The Lord Jesus, in the period of his pilgrimage in Palestine, as we know from the Gospels, wrought many wonderful works. Among some of the most impressive were the miracles of the cleansing of the lepers. The Lord Jesus summarized his marvelous miracles thus: the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. He there lists 5 classifications of his miracles. And in the center of the 5, he puts the cleansing of the lepers. Notice, lepers are not just healed, they are cleansed. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, dead are raised up, but the lepers are cleansed. And so it is particularly the lepers that show forth the cleansing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever lepers are dealt with by Christ, they don't appear defiled anymore. They don't feel defiled anymore. And they're not treated as defiled anymore. It's a wonderful experience for the leper to feel clean. And we know that at least 11 lepers were cleansed by the Lord Jesus in 2 miracles. In the first, the man was full of leprosy, and in the second, the 10 lepers at various stages of leprosy. All these 11 lepers begged to be cleansed. And they were cleansed. And in all of these cases, the lepers were told, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded. So the Lord Jesus referred the cleansed lepers back to the priest, in obedience to Leviticus chapter 14. And in sending them to the priests, the Lord Jesus expected the ceremony in this chapter 14 to be carried out. It is a long ceremony. The account runs from verse 2 down to verse 32. The part that interests us today is the part that we read, the verses 2 through to 9. The rest of the ceremony, verses 10 and following, they were carried out a week later, on the eighth day. And that aspect of the ceremony is continued down to verse 32, and it includes the variations if the cleansed leper was poor. Between the first part, verses 2 to 9, and the second part, verses 10 to 31, there is not only a time difference, a time lapse. The first part, day 1, the second part, a week later, day 8, there's also a difference in location where the ceremony is carried out. The first part, it takes place outside the camp. It takes place where the leper is, where the leper has been. The second part takes place in the tabernacle court. The leper has been allowed into the camp after day 1, and he can go to the court of the tabernacle, and on day 8, the rest of the ceremony takes place there. The leper cannot go into the camp, even if healed, until this ceremony takes place, first of all, in verses 2 to 9. And so he has to have this ceremony carried out. It has to be carried out by the priest. And so he has to go to the priest. It says that in verse 2. He shall be brought unto the priest. But not in person, because a note has to be sent forth or a message has to be sent forth to the priest. He actually can't come into the tabernacle. He can't go to the temple and confront the priests. No, he can only go to the outskirts of the camp, to the city wall or whatever, and send a message to the priest and ask the priest to come. And so we read in verse 3, the priest shall go forth out of the camp. So the priest is to go forth. That's where the story of cleansing for the leper begins. It begins with a going forth priest. And the priest has to be willing. The priest has to have the enthusiasm and the desire. The priest has to want to come. And so between verses 2 and 3, there may be waiting on the part of the leper. There may be fear in his heart. Word has been sent to the priest, but will the priest come? Will the priest have compassion? Will the priest do for me what I need to be done, what I want done? And so there may be fears in the leper during this waiting stage. Not all priests in Israel, we are sure, were keen to do their job, especially in regard to the lepers. You remember Eli's sons? I couldn't see them running to do this, to go out to the leper camp and to inspect the lepers. This was a job that required willingness. This was a job that required compassion. The priest might have been too afraid to go. And if not too afraid, he might have been just too busy or too careless. He might feel that he has more important things to do. And there might be a great delay, and the poor leper will just have to wait perhaps to another day. Maybe he'll have to wait many days before finally a priest will come. Well, there are no such hindrances with the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest of our profession. He is the one who has compassion for sinners, for those who are lepers outside the camp. If he is sent for, he comes. He is the high priest who, when men call, he answers. If they send for him, he will go forth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the going forth priest to the lepers. The Lord Jesus manifested his compassion and his willingness towards the unclean in the days of his flesh. As I said, we have two leper narratives in the Gospels, in both of which the Lord Jesus Christ was abundantly willing to respond to the leper. Remember how one of them cried out, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He's kneeling before the Lord Jesus. He's beseeching him. And what do we read? Jesus moved with compassion. He goes forth with compassion. He put forth his hand and he touched him. He said, "I will, be thou clean." He's the one who makes clean. He makes clean immediately. He makes clean without delay. As soon as a leper calls, he answers. Doesn't the text in Mark's Gospel say, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him? As soon as the Lord Jesus Christ said the word, it was gone. He was cleansed straight away. There was no delay. No sitting there in fear and trembling and wondering what will happen. The man called and the Lord Jesus went forth and cleansed him. There's no delay with Christ in dealing with sinners. Sinners don't have to fear and tremble and wonder, will he come? Will he go forth? Will he hear my cry? Is he interested in my cleansing? Does he have compassion? The sinner doesn't need to have questions like that. Christ is willing. Christ is ready. Whenever he came into the world, he was willing. He left the camp of heaven. He went without the camp into a world of sin and woe. He came into the world of lepers. Remember how he said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." He left his Father's house, the place of purity and holiness, the place where he was at home. But he came into the world of woe, into this world, he says. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came for the lepers. He's a going forth priest. He's a going forth priest who's come to save that which was lost. And it's the same when the sinner seeks Christ. That willingness, that compassion that Christ had when he came into the world at the first, he still has when sinners seek him now, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ is still willing. And when the sinner trusts, when the sinner calls, when the sinner believes, when the sinner comes and sends for him for the cleansing, he's not like the distant priest, closed up and shut away and hard to access, and you wonder whether he'd come or not. The Lord Jesus Christ stands ready. He stands willing to receive the sinner. And so if you're wondering whether he's willing or not, if you're an unconverted sinner, would he take me in? If I call upon his name, will there be a readiness? Will there be a willingness? Will there be the compassion? Surely there will. Christ is the standing one, as far as lepers are concerned, standing ready to receive them, standing ready to go forth by his Spirit to cleanse them, standing at the door knocking, standing waiting to be gracious, ready to save to the uttermost. That's Christ. And so it comes to pass, before they call, I will answer, he says. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. And off he goes to meet the sinner who has called upon him for salvation. That's Christ. No delay. No need to fear his response. No need to sit trembling. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember the prodigal. Whenever the prodigal, he made his way back. He arose and he came to his father. And what does the Bible say? While he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's how the great high priest goes out to the sinner. Not like the sons of Eli. You couldn't have got them off their seats. They wouldn't have been running out to the lepers. But the Lord Jesus, he sees the leper looking mercy a great way off. And when he sees it, as it were, he is moved with compassion and he runs and he meets the sinner. That's the willingness of Christ to save. And so the priest goes forth out of the camp. What is he to do? He's to look. That's all he can do, look. Look to see if he has been truly healed. Look to see if the cleansing has in actual fact taken place literally in his body. If the leprosy has gone, he can look. But in reality, the great high priest, Jesus Christ, he comes to take away the leprosy. He comes to put forth his hand and to remove it and to purge it away. Christ is the only one who does the true cleansing. These priests could only pronounce it. These priests could only see that the cleansing had taken place and announce it and then give the ceremony so that he could come into the fellowship again. But it's the Lord who takes away the leprosy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is that great high priest who purges away our uncleanness by his own blood. Just as he showed in the days of his flesh, he was the one that touched the leper and they were cleansed. So the priest, having looked, having seen that indeed the leper has been healed by the grace of God, the ceremony is carried out, whereby he will be allowed to come back into the camp. And that ceremony is described in verses 4 through to 7. And the thing about this, as I have said, is that it takes place immediately that day. Straight away, no delay. It takes place outside the camp. It takes place in the sight of the healed leper. It's to give him comfort and assurance. There's to be no delay in the assurance and in the comfort that he is to get. And so this ceremony is the gospel to him. It's the good news to him. It's the ceremony that admits him into the camp, that gives him the message of the new position now that he has through grace. And that's what the man wants. He wants comfort. He wants comfort straight away. He wants to know that he's right. He wants to know that he's cleansed. He wants to know that he has acceptance. He wants to know that he can enter into the fellowship. And so this ceremony is about comfort and assurance and joy as soon as, without delay. And so it's carried out immediately on the day of his cleansing, straight away. Now, the rest of the ceremony, as I said, it's future, it's a week away. But he can have comfort straight away. And so he gets the good news without delay. There's a message here for the newly cleansed one. You know, when one comes to Christ, he can have peace on believing. Once the high priest comes to the leper, and there is the cleansing, he can have peace and assurance straight away without delay. Comfort in the gospel. And the good news provides comfort to sinners straight away without delay. He that believeth hath everlasting life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He that believeth is justified freely. And so this provides a picture of the truth of his cleansing. It provides a picture also how that cleansing is accomplished. how cleansing for sin is carried out, how it is obtained, and how the sinner is set free. It's all here in picture form. The worshipper, newly cleansed and healed, sees himself here. He sees how it was that he was healed. He sees what has been obtained for him and how he has obtained it, and he sees what he now enjoys through grace. It's all here. It pictures the gospel. And so this is a wonderfully comforting ceremony to every believer, especially to the new believer, but to all believers. And so we want to consider this ceremony. The priest looks. He sees indeed that he's healed. God's grace has been evident in his life. And now he is to be admitted into the fellowship. And the priest commands to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean. So at the heart of the ritual are these 2 birds. They're not the same. One dies, another lives. They're not identical, but they are identified together. There is a union of sorts between them, but they're 2 different birds. Along with the birds, 5 other elements are present: cedar wood, scarlet thread or cord, hyssop, bunch of hyssop. Then there's the earthen vessel, and there's fresh water, running water, or living water. And a command is given. Verse 5, the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So one of the birds must die, and he dies over the earthen vessel. The blood streams from the bird and is caught in the vessel, and there's fresh water added as well, and so the water and the blood mixes in the vessel. There's death here, but there's also life here. There's a life that's in the blood of the bird that goes into the vessel, and there's the living water, the water of life. The ceremony is unusual because one of the birds lives. One of the birds goes free. One of the birds does not have to die. Now, this is highly unusual. As you know, most animals and birds die in the ceremonies. Blood is always shed. The victim always dies. But not here. One lives. One that seemed appointed for death goes free. The only thing like it is the Day of Atonement. There are 2 goats on the Day of Atonement, and one is led away to roam in the wilderness. He's not slain. And here the bird is the living bird. He's allowed to fly away into the open field. He's allowed to go free. A command was given. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed. There is an election that must have taken place. There must have been a choice of the birds, which one was to die. And so an election has taken place. In fact, both were elected. One was elected to die, and in the one being elected to die, the other one is elected to live. And both these elections are inseparable. And there can be no election of one without the other. No election to life without an election to death. One must die, and one shall live. One is chosen to die, one is chosen to live. Now, this picture is Christ, of course. He is the first elect, chosen by the Father. And to him the elect are given. Christ is the Father's first elect. You remember how it is said concerning Christ, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Here's Christ, here's Messiah. And what is he? He's the Father's elect. He's the one who has been chosen. He is the one who has been chosen to be identified with the running water and with the blood. He is the one who has been chosen to die in the stead of sinners, so that the elect, the other elect, might go free. As it is said in the Psalms, "I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people." One has been appointed. One has been chosen. "With my holy oil have I anointed him." This is Christ. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said concerning himself, "Him hath God the Father sealed." He's chosen me. He's appointed me. He's given me the Spirit. He's given me the commission to be the sin bearer of my people. And so Peter tells us, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." That's Christ. God the Father has laid in Zion a Savior, a chief cornerstone, a foundation, a dear, precious one, and he's elect. Chosen by God the Father for his people. Elected to save. Elected to die. Elected so that the other elect might go free. And so the chosen one, it is commanded concerning him that he should be killed. And so the priest commands that one of the birds be killed. The command's given. No, the grace in that command. Slay the bird. God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd." The divine command to kill the shepherd. And so the elect is smitten. Smite the shepherd. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And so it is God that hath set forth Christ to be a propitiation for sin. He was delivered by the command of God for our offenses. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Thou hast put him to grief. Thou hast given the command that the Savior should be slain, that he should die in the place and in the stead of sinners. There's a command given. And the substitute dies. And you'll notice that as the bird dies, he is killed in an earthen vessel over running water. He's identified with an earthen vessel. And yet he's identified with the water of life running water, living water as it is. Christ is man. He has a human nature. He is a vessel of clay, but he is also the life everlasting. The life that came into the world, who possesses the fullness of the Spirit, and the one who dies and gives himself for us is the life himself. For I am the life, he says, the water of life, the bread of life. He is slain in the stead of sinners. The water and the blood are both seen here. As this bird is slain, and we are caused to think about him that came by water and by blood. As Andrew Bonner says, two streams meet here. The blood of Christ's life and death, and the water of a pure, holy life. This draws us, as you know, to John's Gospel, to Calvary. What did John say? That he saw the water and the blood that flowed from his side. Christ satisfied the penalty of the law that was broken by us, by his blood shedding. But he also satisfied the obedience that was required to the law and kept the righteousness of the law by his pure, sinless, holy life. He came by water and by blood. He has the righteousness that kept the law, and yet he paid the price of a broken law, the water and the blood, the two streams flowing from Jesus Christ for sinners, that sinners, the lawbreakers, might go free. And so the command is carried out. The blood is shed. And then what do we read? We read that in verse 6, the other bird, the living bird, the priest shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and they're all dipped, including the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. So all these elements are coming together, along with the living bird. And then what happens? The priest shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. So using the hyssop and the scarlet, the cedar stick having been dipped, as it were, into the water, he sprinkled with it, thoroughly sprinkled with it, the sprinkling. It sprinkled all over him 7 times. Do you remember how Elisha said to Naaman, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times? And eventually he did. 7 times he dipped himself in the Jordan, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed 7 times. For the cleansing, a thorough cleansing. What does the sinner pray? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So there is the cleansing through the blood. There's the cleansing by its application with the hyssop. And he who was like that scarlet thread, a scarlet dyed sinner, is cleansed, made white and pure in the blood of the sacrifice. And now the pronouncement can take place, and shall pronounce him clean. The priest gives wonderful assurance to the leper. He says, clean. You're clean now. The blood has been applied. The sacrifice has been slain. And there is the priestly benediction upon the leper. And this the sinner has in Jesus Christ. Because the Savior, as the great high priest, pronounces the sinner who believes on him clean. You're clean. Your sins are forgiven you. This is comfort. This is wonderful comfort for the people of God, to all who believe in Jesus Christ, shall pronounce him clean. You know, if you've believed in Christ, the preacher can pronounce you clean because the Word of God pronounces you clean. And the Spirit of the living God pronounces you clean. He that believeth on him hath forgiveness of sins. This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. And so if you have your faith and trust in Christ, you have cleansing. And you ought to hear this word, clean. Justified freely through his grace. Though you are in yourself a vile sinner, though you are one who has broken God's law, though you have been stained with the defilement of leprosy, maybe you've even been full of leprosy, but so rich is the grace of God in Jesus Christ that the Lord can pronounce you clean. Oh, the marvels of his grace and the power of his blood. And then at that announcement of being clean, the climax of it all takes place. And so we read, he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Loosed. Do you see that? Loosed. Unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins. And so the sinner is set free. The leper identifies with this bird. This is how he has felt. I am perishing. I could die. I am hopeless. I am condemned. But another dies in my stead. But you see, this bird thought it was going to die. This bird thought it was going to perish. A priest has come, and a priest sacrifices. And that poor bird was one who was ready to perish. But instead, the blood of the other one is sufficient, and he goes free. And that cleansed leper feels like that bird. He's been spurred. He can go into the open space now. Of course, that cleansed leper is you, child of God. That's the sinner who has come to Christ and believed in Christ. Like that scarlet, your sins were dark day. You should die, and you should have died in your sins. You should be forever outside the camp. You should be one who's bound over to perish in the darkness. Outside the fellowship, outside the communion of the saints, outside the presence of God, far off. You were as one bound over to perish. But you are pictured not in the slain bird, not in the one that died, but you're pictured in the living bird. The first bird thus bears the uncleanness of the leper. And the second bird pictures what now the leper has through grace. And so in the first bird, see your Savior. See what he has done for you. See the water and the blood. See the one identified with the hyssop. But also see what you have through Christ in your union to the slain one. See, these birds were identified together. One dies, one goes free. And in your identification with Christ, this is what the sinner who believes in Jesus has, the one in union with Christ. He is like that free bird. In your union to Christ, you are free. Free now. No more tied to the community of lepers. No more bound over by the law outside the camp. Appointed to die, appointed to perish alone. No more by yourself alone. No more destined to the outer darkness alone. No more without fellowship. No more crying, unclean, unclean. No more the worm that dieth not. No more feeling a wretched and miserable, perishing sinner. No more joylessness. No more comfortlessness. No more agony, and misery, and sadness. No more fear and terror and dread. No more hopelessness. But free now. Not bound to be judged and condemned and tormented, but free now. The Lord's free man now. As Jesus has said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's appointed me and anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty for you, believer. Liberty in Christ. Liberty through Christ. Liberty by the blood of Christ. Liberty. Blessed, wonderful liberty. Free. Not only to go into the camp now, but free to soar over the face of the field. Free to fly into the heavenlies. Free to fly over all. Wings now as an eagle to mount into the heavens and to soar into the heights. Free even to ascend into the hill of the Lord. Free to ascend up to the heaven of heavens and to the heaven's altar itself. To soar with angels, to soar into the presence of God. The born-again believer has the liberty of a child of God. What does Paul call it? The glorious liberty of the children of God. This is wonderful. This is a comfort that the saints have. This is what you have in Christ. So don't be downcast, don't despair, don't be sitting in fear and trembling. You who believe in Jesus, you who consider that one who has been slain on your behalf, consider also what that one has obtained for you in his sacrifice, your liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, child of God, you've been brought out into a large space. You have a wonderful portion, so undeserving. So wretched and miserable were we as lepers and sinners, and yet Christ's grace obtains this. You who were doomed to the curse have now an arena where there is no more curse. You who could see no man's face but had to veil yourself and to cry unclean, now you shall see his face, face to face with Christ your Saviour. You who had to wear the mark of uncleanness and even to cry uncleanness, now have his name in your foreheads. And you have now the promise of a place where there is no more night, no more darkness. You will not have to struggle for candles where you struggled in the camp of the lepers. But now you will go to the place where God is the light thereof. Go to a place where there is purity and spotlessness and righteousness and holiness. And you shall serve him night and day. This is the glorious liberty of the children of God. And you who could only say unclean, now shall sing and cry and chorus throughout all eternity unto him who loved me and gave himself for me and who washed me from all my uncleanness and set me free. Even Christ your Saviour. So rejoice in him. I trust that this has been a comforting passage for you, child of God, allowing you to see the glories of what you have in Jesus Christ. And so don't be cast down. And don't be taken up with all the things in this world. And don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But seeing what you have in Christ, rise up and by love serve him and serve one another. You've been called unto liberty. Bless his name. To him be glory. Now and ever. Amen.